Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 59, Prayer Initiatives. Cheryl Jackson delivered this message on January 27th, 2019.
I'm going to do what Pastor asked me to, okay? And this really is more of a testimony. It's more of a testimony before, during, and after this testimony. And up on here on my little notes, I have, what do you do when facing a crisis? Okay. And when I was facing my crisis, the first thing I did was I sang. And this is what I sang. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he has anointed me to bring good tidings to the meek, to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. 'Cause it's the anointing that makes the difference. And once you know him, you will never be the same. You can't live without him. Once he's rested upon you, he will teach you how to walk in Jesus' name. He said, in my name, you shall cast out demons, and in my name, you shall speak with new tongues. You shall lay your hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Yes, they will. All these signs will follow you in Jesus' name. The yoke is broken. It's by the anointing. And once you know him, you will never be the same. You can live without him. Once he's rested upon you, and he will teach you how to walk in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. First of all, this morning, I want to thank God. Hallelujah. I'm here because of him. I want to thank him and praise him and give him glory. Then I want to thank my pastor, Pastor Harley, who's in Cuba, and Pastor Karen, who is here today. It is so wonderful having them as my shepherds and having their support. And then I'd like to thank my family, my church, hallelujah, people who prayed for me, my church. This is my church. I'm so glad that God led me here to this family. This is a wonderful church family. So if you're looking for a family, this is one. And so I praise God for that. And today I want to talk about him. I'm just a recipient of things that he did in my life that he is reminding me of and that I can never forget this. I will never forget it. And I want to glorify him, and I want him to speak through me. And I hope and pray that whatever I share with you will encourage you and give you a greater, broader look at God, at what he is really able to do. And I know that my church family, a lot of my church family here have heard this. And it doesn't, I guess it doesn't hurt to hear things as you get over and over and over again, so that, you know, you can get it in your spirit. Okay. So I first want to say that I had some, my left ear back in 2010 was bothering me off and on. Okay. And so, of course, you think, oh, I'm washing my hair. You're getting water in your ear and you're trying to get it out and beating yourself and everything. My ear was bothering me. And so I kind of let it go. And then my sister, she lives in Florida. She wanted me to come to Florida. So that was in December of 2010. So my ear was bothering me. And you know, when you're going on the plane, you don't want that pressure. It might hurt. So I went to Ready Med. And I said, you know, my ear is bothering me. And they thought, oh, okay, it's full of wax. So they flushed it. And the nurse was like, there's not much wax coming out of this ear. So the doctor there gave me an antibiotic, said, well, maybe it's an ear infection. So I thought, okay, I'll take this. I'll take this antibiotic for this ear infection. So I took the antibiotics, got on the plane to Florida, took off, and my ear was still bothering me a little bit. But I went anyways. My sister worked for a doctor there. So she got him to give me some antibiotics. And I had a good time there. I took the antibiotics. You know, my ear was still bothering me a little bit. Okay. So I come home 2011 through 2013. That ear off and on, off and on. And so you think, you know, you got ear, you're watering your ear, you know, and I kept doing that and kept doing that and kept doing it. Kept bothering me. Well, my grandchild, this one right here, Isaiah, he was just a little kid, 4 years old. He was still having sippy cups. And I started noticing weakness trying to open the sippy cup that I squeezed, that I twisted. I'm like, I'm having trouble opening things and opening his sippy cup and these kinds of things. I was experiencing this weakness. And so... of course, guys, close your ears, because I thought it was menopause. I was like, oh, it must be a symptom of menopause or something, because I was getting weak. My eye was, you know, just things were happening, and that's what I thought it was. Anyways, so I started having headaches, so I began to take ibuprofen, okay, and I don't know if you know, but ibuprofen is an anti-inflammatory. So it was getting me through, but I then had started beginning to lose my balance and coordination and these kinds of things. And so one day in October, Pastor Harley calls me. I'm at work, and I answer the phone. And I was like, Pastor, you need to call me back. Something's wrong with your phone. So I hung up. He calls me back. It still sounded that way. So I put it on this ear. And I could hear him. And then I realized, here's something wrong with my ear still. I must be getting clogged again. And because he wanted me to help in a conference that they were having at one of the churches. So I did that. And lo and behold, my daughter was going in November. Her and her husband were celebrating their wedding anniversary, and I kept the kids. It was the most horrible time. Not because of them, but because of the headaches and the weakness and the things I was experiencing. And then my eyes became sensitive to light. And when they came home from their trip, I'm sitting in the house with sunglasses on. My daughter thought I was getting ready to go somewhere. She had just graduated as a nurse. And she thought I was getting ready to go somewhere. And I said, no, my eyes are sensitive to the light. She runs to her car, brings in her bag, starts assessing me. Mom, your pupils aren't reacting. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Well, your pupils aren't your pupils aren't reacting. So I didn't know what that meant. And so I waited a couple of days. She took the kids home a couple of days. She's decided, Mom, you want me to take you to urgent care? Okay, fine, take me to urgent care. So I go to urgent care. Regina had already assessed me. So we talked to this doctor. The doctor, okay, looks in this ear. Oh, you have a severe ear infection. He even pulled out a piece of paper and drew a picture. You know, it's supposed to look like this, and it looks like this. And he drew this big old stuff on here. And I'm like, oh, okay. So what's next? And he's like, okay, we're going to get you this antibiotic. Another antibiotic. Wow. So I get the antibiotic. That was on a Thursday night. I took the antibiotic. I took that antibiotic, but I could not function really. I'm like falling over. Reggie's catching me. I just could not function on this antibiotic. So I called them that Monday. I stopped taking it because I even tried to take half of one. I stopped taking it, called them. I said, I cannot function on this medication. And the nurse goes, what do you mean you can't function? I was like, well, I can't function. I'm falling over. My husband is like having to catch me because I'm falling over. And she, wait just a minute. And she gets off the phone. She gets back on the phone. He says, well, the doctor says stop taking it. I said, I already did. Then you need to get a doctor. I already did. Because I went to my daughter's doctor that Friday before that Monday. And she looked in my ear and she goes, Regina, I don't see an ear infection. So that medicine must have worked really fast, or she doesn't have one, but I'm going to let her continue taking this, and I want to see her at the end of the 10 days. So I had an appointment to go see that doctor at the end of those 10 days. Okay? So by that Friday, the 15th of November, I went to work. The Lord had set it up because a lady came in wanting to learn how to be a seamstress, because I'm a seamstress at the Buckle. I hem the jeans there. And this lady came in. She wanted to be a seamstress, so I trained her. And so that day I worked there, and then I work at the Jefferson Point. I get to Jefferson Point. I finished working at Jefferson Point, went to hang up some jeans, and almost fell over. And I grabbed the rack to keep from hitting the ground. I thought, okay, something's going on here. This has to be serious. I remember Regina telling me she didn't have to work on Saturday. That's my daughter, who's the nurse. So I go home, and I called her. I said, Regina, do you work tomorrow? And she says, no. I said, I think you need to take me to the emergency room. I get off at 7. I'll be there and take you tonight. I was like, okay. So she gets off, comes, takes me to Parkview North. They take me, sits me down. They're talking to me, asking me all these questions. Okay. Take me into the, get me a room. They come and get me. They take me to x-ray. They bring me back to the room. And I'm thinking, oh, you know what? It'll just be they'll give me something and I'll get to go home. The guy comes in and goes, your headaches were warranted because you have a mass in your brain. I went, what? Immediately, Regina runs out of the room and gets on the phone and starts calling everybody to let them know I had a mass in my brain. I'm like, what? Yes, you have a mass in your brain. It's the size of a golf ball. It's in my cerebellum. I was like, okay, praise the Lord. So they admitted me that night, and my doctor that weekend was the doctor on call. His name was Dr. Calavetti, and he comes in, he lets me know, he says, you have a golf ball sized tumor in your brain. My daughter wanted me to have surgery right then, and I was like, no, this is my brain. I am not going to let anybody rush into my skull and mess with my brain without prayer. I was like, no way. There was no way. But they waited. They kept me the weekend thinking I was going to change my mind. But I wouldn't. So on that Sunday, Dr. Calavetti said, okay, well, you'll be meeting your doctor tomorrow. His name is Dr. Jacobson. I said, okay, praise the Lord. And I had people coming to see me while I was up there. We prayed. We prayed for staff. We prayed for the people that brought my food up. We prayed. They were all out in the hall going, if you want to go hang out in a room, go to that one. Because they came in there. You need some prayer? What do you need prayer for? So I had a group of people in there, and we were praying. People were calling me. I'm praying over the phone with them. They're praying for me over the phone. We're praying for the staff. We're praying for people in the cafeteria. We were just praying for everybody. And so they all wanted to come to my room and hang out. So I was like, praise God. We can have church in here, which we did. And somebody else asked me, did you want a second opinion? I said, no. I don't need a second opinion. I need to talk to the Lord. So when Dr. Jacobson comes, he was 32 years old, but you could have swore he was 18. I'm not kidding. I looked at like, okay, he looked like, remember, I don't know if some of you remember Doogie Howser. Remember we watched Doogie Howser? That's who he reminded me of when he came into my room. And he said to me, I think we need to get that out. And I said, why? He said, because it's big and it's deep. And I went, oh, okay. I don't want to do it today. And my daughter was like, would you tell her she can't have anything that she can get out of this hospital? He goes, yes, I can. I was like, praise God. So he had something he could give me for me to get out of the hospital. And we set up my surgery for a week later, because I didn't want to rush into it, and I wanted to talk to the Lord about it. It just so happened it was a pill. It was only about that big, but it was a steroid. And I looked it up, and it said, your doctor obviously thought the benefits were going to outweigh the side effects. Thank you. The side effects. And what that little steroid did was it stop my brain from swelling, because the golf ball sized tumor that was deep in my cerebellum was shutting off the fluid to my brain. Therefore, my brain was swelling. And so, of course, my daughter said to the doctor, would you tell her what happens if she doesn't get the surgery? What happens, doctor? Well, the fluid is shut off to your brain will dry out, then your organs will dry out, and you'll be dead in 5 to 6 months. Okay. That's when we set up the surgery for the next week. So I get out of the hospital. They tried to keep me, though, because I told him I wanted to go that day. He waited till Tuesday and came back to see if I changed my mind. I said, no, I thought I was getting out of here. He goes, okay, I'll do the papers. So they got the papers ready, and they let me out of the hospital because I had things to do. I needed to get my husband ready for I'm going to be in the hospital having surgery. And, you know how you those loose ends you got to take care of. You ladies know you got to take care of those loose ends. So I want to take care of some loose ends, make sure he was taken care of, make sure I called my family. I wanted to make sure I called my family to let them know what was going on. All of my family out of town. I had people praying out of town. I had people praying in town. I just wanted to make sure my family, I don't want you hearing anything on the streets about me. I want you to hear this from me. This is what's going on. This is what I wanted them to know. Okay. So as I got things ready, we decided to seek the Lord. And you know, Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Guess what? I was in a time of need because I had this tumor in my brain, shutting it off. And you know that even taking that steroid I was still weak, and I had to have somebody with me all the time, driving me around, taking me wherever I needed to go. My daughter, her name is Tanisha. She came from Georgia to come and take care of me, to be my driver and take me wherever I needed to go. And so then I prayed, family prayed, church prayed. My church called me on the phone and left it on my voicemail. They were praying. They were praying for me. They, you know, when I could not come to church, they prayed for me. I mean, I got calls from them praying for me all the time. So I knew my church family was praying for me. My family was praying for me. God worked all this out. It just worked it all out. But I want to tell you this. I had a little empty yogurt cup. And I sat next to the bed. I said, Lord, if you want to put that tumor in that cup and I can take it to the doctor, that'd be fine. So that was what I was, you know, that was my, you know, I'll just let the Lord do it that way. But I wanted to give him first chance. I wanted him to dry it up, take it out, do whatever you need to do. I wanted to let him go to him first. And so that's what we did. We went to him first. Okay. Well, by the time that week was up, I had to go. That was November 25th. I had to go to the hospital. Went in, the waiting room was full of family and friends, and my pastors were there. And this was right before they were going to Cuba. Praise God. And so they were all in the waiting room waiting. They took me into the prep room, okay? And got me all prepped and ready to go. I have a police officer cousin. She's 6 feet tall. And she was in all of her garb. And she was in the room with me. Pastor, I'm not sure if Pastor Karen was in there. Were you in there with Pastor Harvey too? So I had several people in the room as they were prepping me, getting me ready to go. And so my doctor, Dr. Jacobs, said, before he came in, I told him, I said, now when the doctor comes in, he looks really young. I mean, really young. And my cousin was like, oh, can't be that young. Okay, fine. So while I'm laying there on the bed, the doctor comes in. He walks in. I said, hey, I've been praying for you. He goes, okay, thanks. What's going on? Because my cousin was standing there in her policeman outfit. And she looks at him and goes, we all been praying for you. Are you old enough to have a license? I was like, oh, my God. Because really, I'm serious. He was younger than my kids. So. But that's how young he looked. But she wanted to know, do you? And I went, that's my cousin. They're all here waiting on me to have this surgery. And so my husband, he's so funny, because then they give me the medication. You know, they give you that medication to put you out. And he goes, watch this, 10 blunt. I was gone. I don't remember 9. She says, she don't take medicine well. I'm not really good at it. So I was gone, bam. Okay, so I had the surgery, and they're all in the waiting room waiting for me to come out of recovery, okay? And I guess I was taking too long. And, of course, my daughter, the nurse, she goes, it shouldn't take this long. So she goes to the back and says, is Cheryl Jackson out of surgery? Well, yeah, she told us that there was no one out there for her. And I said, why are they asking me? I just came out of surgery. How I know if anybody out there for me? Anyway, so when I came out of the surgery, the doctor, Dr. Jacobson, took my husband and my two daughters into the consult room. And he gave them a negative report. He said, okay, she's out of surgery. But if it's what I think it is, she's going to be drooling. She's going to have to learn how to walk again. She's going to have to learn how to talk. She's not going to be able to drive for at least 4 months. And my husband, praise God, said, we don't receive that. Amen. We ain't receiving that. Don't y'all repeat that to anybody. My daughter from Georgia calls my sister in Florida. This is what they said. And my sister said, we don't receive that. Don't repeat that. We're not receiving it. My husband went to the waiting room and said, she's fine. Y'all can all go home. She's good. go home. So he said, I wanted to get all the down unbelievers need to go. So he sent them all home. He let them all go home. So they went home, and my children and my husband, they all came to the ICU. That's where I was. They finally let them in. And I didn't realize why my daughter was standing in the door going, yes. Because the nurse was like, do you know your name? I said, yes, Cheryl Jackson. Do you know where you are? I said, Parkview North. Do you know who the president is? I said, yeah, Obama. I was like, okay. And Tanisha was in the back going, yes, one down. And I didn't understand why she was doing that. And so the next day was her birthday, Tanisha's birthday. And I called the nurse. I called somebody. Y'all need to come in here and help me go to the bathroom. Because by then, ain't no shame in my game. Just come, take me to the bathroom. And so I got up and I walked to the bathroom. I had to have help, but I walked to the bathroom. So that was two down. That I wasn't drooling. I was talking. I was walking. And that was the next day. Amen. And when the nurse came in to take me to the bathroom, I said, you need prayer? What do you want me to pray about? So I'm praying for them on the floor. They had emergencies going on, so I'm starting to pray for them. And once again, the people are coming into my room. We're praying for those people. I'm praying for that lady, praying for these people. Okay, so then Dr. Jacobson, my Doogie Howser, he comes in. I think you need radiation. I don't want radiation. I know. I said, I don't want any radiation. And Tanisha's going, she's not going to take radiation. She knew I was going to stand on the word of God. I'm not letting them put that poison in my brain. That's my brain. I said, that is my brain. He goes, well, we can pinpoint it. I was like, it's in my brain. You're not doing that. He goes, okay, let's just wait until the oncologist comes. Let's see what he has to say. Okay. So he leaves. The oncologist's assistant comes in. Could you tell me, how did you find out about this tumor? I said, I didn't know I had a tumor, but I was having headaches. She goes, okay. I said, why? She said, they're very rare. Only 2-3% of the population even get them. And it's usually in men. And it's very slow growing. I said, really? She says, yes. And I said, well, explain it to me. And she goes, well, have you ever seen like little kids born with a birthmark and it looks like a little strawberry? Okay, well, that's what was growing in my brain. It was vascular and it had intertwined in all my vessels back down there in my brain. And so me with my curious self went online to see how they do that, surgery. And what they do is they take a scalpel and they cut and then they cauterize and cut, cauterize, cut, cauterize, cut until they get it out, right? And then there's a space left because it grew in my brain. So then they have some kind of material they take and shove it, put it in there to make up the space. And isn't God wonderful? Because then what, you know, when your brain waves go straight across, our brains know how to go like this. Oh, go around that and go down here and go back around. Knows how to take a detour to get those thoughts and everything that needs to be done. And so that's what was going on in there. So I've tried to look up, okay, what is this stuff? It looks like mesh. I'm sure it's something else. But it looked like mesh, and they just put it in there, stuff it in there, and it, I guess it intertwines and grows, and I guess, in there, in your brain. So that's what happened with mine. But the oncologist said I was only the second case she'd ever seen in her 25-year career that was slow growing. So what happened back in 2010 was this tumor growing in my brain. And I finally found online one guy who said he thought he had an ear infection. Went to the doctor, and they said it was a brain tumor. One guy. And then, of course, I looked up side effects of the steroids because I wanted to know. I started praying against those side effects of the steroids because I just prayed and prayed and prayed against those. So on the 27th, they took out my IVs, right? And then they were talking about letting me go home. I was like, praise God. Hallelujah. They wanted to put me in a rehab because they said, oh, I heard you can't, get around without help. I'm like, I just had brain surgery and I probably do need somebody to help me. But my daughters are going to be there. My daughters, both my daughters. And then when my one daughter left to go to Georgia, my sister came from Florida. And it was funny because she just watched me and watched me and watched me. I don't know what she was looking for. I'm fine, Dale. I'm fine. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. So anyways, while I was in the hospital, I did not have insurance. So while I'm in the hospital, they came and I tried to get on Medicaid. But we had two vehicles, so you couldn't be on Medicaid. One of the vehicles was a 1999 old white van. And the other one was a 2002 Ford Taurus. But because we had those two vehicles, they would not let me on Medicaid. So the lady comes in and says, hey, here's some forms, fill out. Sometimes we have charities that will pay your bill. Okay, fine. So I had those papers with me, didn't fill them out at the hospital. I'm still at the hospital. November 28th, Thanksgiving Day. That was the day I got to go home. So I had brain surgery that Monday, and I was home that Thursday. Right out of ICU. Never got in a room. They let me out right out of there. So that was, that was a blessing. I ate their Thanksgiving lunch, and then I ate Thanksgiving dinner at home. And praise God, because of that steroid, I was eating everything I could find. I'll take that and that and that and that. Man, I was eating. It was wild. It was so bad. I was like eating all that stuff. Wow. It was something. So I don't recommend steroids, okay? So I was recuperating at my daughter's. And while recuperating there, we had filled out the paperwork and I sent it in to the hospital. And while I was there, I got a phone call from the hospital. Yes, hello. I had to call him back because I was sleeping. So I called him back. I said, yes, this is Cheryl Jackson. He said, yes, Mrs. Jackson. Well, I just want you to know that someone took care of your bill, paid everything. Praise God. $69,000. That was that trip. That was when they did the brain surgery. $69,000. I said, praise God. And she said, let me tell you something. I want you to call all these other places because they may have a program also for you. Oh, okay. So I called when you go to the emergency room, they have the physicians. Now they have a separate thing for the physicians they charge you to. So I called them. I said, yeah, the hospital told me to call because they, somebody paid my bill and they told me to call and see if you have a program. Oh, we usually follow suit with them. So you don't have to pay that one. It's like, okay, well, praise God. Then I called the anesthesiologist and filled out a paper for them. They took care of it. Allied pathologist, they took care of it. Fort Wayne Radiology just gave up on me. Praise the Lord. I sent them a couple payments, and then I didn't hear from them anymore. My neurologist, he had only charged me like $6,000 or something. We paid him $1,520 or something like that. And then they gave me I filled out a paper there and they excused the rest of that. So I went this week and pulled out those bills again and looked them up and added them up. The bill from the bill from the urgent care, I never got. My daughter, with her sweet self, the nurse, calls the supervisor, says, hey, I had my mom there. And that doctor there said she had a severe ear infection. Well, how's she doing? Well, she just came out of brain surgery. It was a brain tumor. Oh, no. How is she doing? Is she okay? Yeah, she's okay. I just wanted you to know. She had brain surgery, not an ear infection. Never got that bill. It was on with the when I saw it, it was on with the $69,000 excuse bill. Never heard from him. And then the 4 days I was in, I didn't get a bill for that. Never saw. I don't know how much that was. So I went online and said, well, what's the average cost for 4 days in the hospital back in 2013? That was $10,000. So once I added everything up, it was like $92,000. And we played a little less than three. And I was like, praise God. I said, God, I just thank you. You took care of that. He didn't take care of it the way I thought. I wanted it to be in the cup. But he did take care of the bill. Because Reggie and I knew we paid for that till we died. I didn't have $92,000. I didn't even have $20,000, let alone $92,000. So I was recuperating at my daughter's. My one daughter, Tanisha, took me to see Dr. Jacobson. That was January 12th. We're in his office. He walks in the office. In the room we're in, he goes, okay, you can go do whatever you want. You're fine. I said, well, I still got staples in my head. He goes, okay, when your staples come out, you're fine. Go do whatever you want. I said, well, when can I go back to work? Well, what do you do? I said, I'm a seamstress. He goes, you can go back January 2nd. So I figured it up. It was 6 weeks from the time they found it to the time I went back to work. It was 6 weeks that God took care of that whole situation. And then, you know, the Ecclesiastes 1 says, cast your bread upon the water, and in many days it will come back. And what I wanted to say is, my husband is an adamant tither. Ever since I've known him, he's always, always, always pushed me to tithe. I don't have to discuss it with him. Lord, I'll say, Reggie, I gave this to the Lord. As long as we give our tithe, as long as we give our tithe. His Aunt Lucy, it was his great aunt, taught him to tithe when he was 8 years old, and he never forgot it. Tithe, tithe, tithe. So if you cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. And then Ecclesiastes 11:6 says, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So we were grateful. I was so grateful to the Lord that we were tithers, because the Bible says, when you bring your tithes to the storehouse, so there's meat in my house, prove me that I will open the windows of heaven, pour out blessing so much that you won't be able to contain it. And then he said what? I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So he rebuked that devourer, because the devil comes to steal, and destroy. But God comes to give us life and give it more abundantly. And so I'm so grateful because of what the Lord did for me. Because it's been a little over 5 years now since that happened. I'm celebrating 5 years, and it's really something how people would say, well, was it cancerous? I said, I don't know, but if it was, God took care of it. And he did. He took care of it. If it was cancerous, he took care of it. If it wasn't, but he took care of it. And the oncologist came in and said, I don't think you need radiation. I was like, praise God. So I didn't get radiation. I haven't had any problems since then. People would ask my husband, your wife's driving? What's she doing out here driving? The doctor said she could. So what I did was had him take me to drive first. I didn't just get in the car and drive. I let him take me driving. So I was just like, Lord, you took care of it, and you took care of the bill for me. That's a lot of money. There's no way. Where was I going to get $90,000? Even think about taking care of that bill. And so in Philippians, I know I haven't shared a whole lot of scripture, because Pastor wanted me to share. I want you to share your testimony before, during, and after. And I want this to encourage you. you know, we don't have to be sick for God to take care of things for us. You don't. You don't have to. He just loves us. He makes our joy full. And I was so full of joy for what he did for me, you know. And there were a few little challenges, but I called on the name of the Lord. You know, when I went back to work, there was a couple of girls. I didn't remember their names. I remembered how to do my job, though. I didn't remember their names until later. But God slowly but surely brought things back. Strength came back. Memory came back. Things just kept coming back. I was able to drive. I resumed my job. And it's just the blessing. God is just, it's such a blessing. And so, I'm just so grateful to God for what he did. I was just the recipient of this blessing. He's an awesome, awesome God. And so, when Pastor asked me about a scripture, I told him Philippians 4:6, which is in your bulletins. And it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses, not just passes, but surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And that is what we did. We did not get anxious. I'm still grateful to my husband who said we don't receive that. And it's like we do not have to receive what the world says. We do not have to receive what the doctor is saying. We don't have to receive it. We are children of God. His word is the final authority in our lives. His word, what his word says. And so when he spoke that out of his mouth, he put voice to that. We're not receiving that. And we didn't. And so when he didn't receive that, of course, I wasn't receiving it. The devil is a liar. I wasn't letting him. You know, it was already trying. And, you know, I was like, why me? And my husband was like, why not you? I was like, whatever. Okay, praise God. Anyways, Lord, thank you, Dan. You know, that then the Lord used, you know, that's the way the Lord used, because I got to talk, prayed for the doctor, prayed for the staff members, prayed for the cafeteria workers. It was, God, why am I here? I want to represent you well, regardless of what happened to me, because my husband said either he's going to heal her or take her home, but whichever way, she wins both ways. Either way, I was the winner. I had the victory. But God wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. So, in your bulletin, we have be anxious for nothing. And we're going to go to focus groups. And you can talk about this amongst yourselves. And really, so then I mailed the car insurance and was waiting for it to clear the bank, and I got it back in the mail. The day it was due. Got it in the mail, and the mail person said, I hope this didn't inconvenience you. I'm like, really? So, thank God I was able to go online and do a one-time payment, and it got there on time. So when you're going to do good, the enemy is always ready to try and discourage you and make you think, oh, look what we're doing. We're going to do this and this and this and this. But don't be discouraged. Be encouraged, because that means you're doing right, something right for the Lord in Jesus' name. And so right now, if anyone needs prayer, thank you, Isaiah. Said his sister needs prayer. You can pray for her right now. But if anyone needs prayer, you know, we have, you know, it says if anyone is suffering, needs prayer, we have elders, we have the ladies of the church, anybody who needs prayer, just come on up. And we have Amen and Pastor Karen and, you know, Sally, Sarah, are you busy? And we need those elders of the church, Pastor Don and Enoch. in Jesus' name to help pray for these ladies and whatever they need.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.